Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors.
Slipping into our 4 o'clock hour and slipping back into yesterday's NFC and AFC title games. What a day of football. And to talk about it, the Hall of Fame wide receiver, former Dallas Cowboy, NFL Network analyst and friend of the show, Mr. Michael Irvin, here on 95.7 The Game. Michael, both road underdogs win in overtime yesterday. I think it was one of the most evenly matched championship Sundays we've had in a long time. Those games were barn burners with all sorts of controversy dripping all over them. That was a good day of football.
It was titillatingly exciting, crazy, emotional roller coaster. It was everything you can ever hope for in a football game. And I even tweeted out, I said, listen, I don't have anything against MLB, NBA, or NHL, but it ain't in the NFL. You don't get anything like that. You can't get that in a series. Because so much is on the line in these one moment. In each game, there were some serious calls, some serious questionable calls. You know what I mean? And then there was some one-inch moments. Oh, my God. The guy was lined up offside by an inch. That ball barely missed Julian Edelman's hands. Or did it touch Julian Edelman? It was incredible. We don't even need to talk about that pass interference. That was crazy. I cannot believe you lose a chance to go to the Super Bowl on a play like that where those refs had their flag stuck in their pocket.
Well, Michael, let's pick up right there because there were a handful of missed calls, but everyone is talking about Robey Coleman basically running through a wide receiver at the end of a game right there. And he even admitted afterwards, he's like, I totally thought I was going to get a flag. I didn't, and that's why we're going to the Super Bowl. I like the honesty, but the NFL – you know, it hurts its own brand, even though controversy is good for the brand and everybody's talking about him today. The NFL does itself a disservice by missing a call that even the guy in the back of the bar saw.
Right, exactly. And honestly, I'm going to say this, because when I got up and I saw it on social media, I said, I don't think anything's going on here, but it just looks bad when you got Todd Gurley exchanging a jersey with the referee. You know, after a call like that gets you to the Super Bowl.
Well, that was Photoshop. That wasn't real. That picture was not real, by the way. That Gurley did not exchange a jersey with an official.
Okay. Thank you. Because I'm telling you, man, I got upset at that today. I was like, oh, my God. I'm glad you stayed with me on this. Because I was going back to work, and I was going to say, what in the H-E double hockey stick is this?
that was fake.
You're already getting people talking about, oh, they wanted L.A. in the Super Bowl. You know, when I played, you know, I hear people all the time, is it refereeing or is it rigged and all that stuff. It's like, stop it, people. You know what? You know how difficult it is to rig a football game? Are you joking? All these different elements, all these different parts is moving. That was just a horrific, horrific situation and a horrific, horrific call. I don't know how you don't make that call. Seeing it, and you know, they said, well, they thought they arrived at the same. Whatever you said, it was wrong. And it's so sad. And watching Sean Payton, you get to, I know he's a grown man, but he wanted to just flat out cry. I wanted to cry for him. You know, I cry with him. But man, that's just horrific. Any word that you can come up with that's right along horrific and just that's the word you need to put in.
It was bad. It was a horror show of a call, no doubt about it. But to me, the Saints just as much lost that game by coming up short on two drives early by Sean Payton leaving way too much time to get tied when he threw the ball on first down and didn't keep the clock moving like any high school coach in America would. Like, sometimes these offensive geniuses, Michael, I think get a little too cute for their own good, and Sean Payton is going home for as much that reason as a blown call.
Right. Well, everybody's going to talk about it, and that's just a fad thing. It's aggression. Let's be aggressive. And that was an easy throw, and the ball just hit the ground, and I understand it. And we can see all of that. And then the interception, you know, with Stunted Flower hitting Drew Brees and then intercepting that ball and getting the opportunity box. All that's fine and dandy. But this was too blatant to say that's just not the reason they lost that game. Because even with that situation, that bad call, instead of running that ball on first down and running that ball on second down, making them use their timeout, they're going to run it again on third, then kick the field goal. And you don't even know, maybe you would have gotten another first down anyway. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You're doing them both. You don't even know that. But all of that, I still couldn't get this out of my head, that call, because it wasn't like, say the guy turned around, and he went looking for the ball, and there was contact made and no call made, and you thought there was pass interference, like Deion Sanders did with me in the 94 championship game in San Francisco. You know, okay, that's a battle. Deion did try to get his head around, put his hand in. This was so blatant that, it removes every other thing that happened in that football game, because everything in the football game is going to happen quick, and it's going to be an inch here, an inch there. But this was so blatant that a brand newborn baby, fresh out the womb, would have made this call.
The Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin, here on 95.7 The Game. In the AFC title game, look, whenever anything doesn't end the way America likes, we get fans calling for rule changes the next day. I just want to ask you a couple quick questions, Michael. Should replay be expanded to missed calls?
I don't know about that. I don't know about missed calls. Now, overtime, I don't mind us playing and making sure both people get the ball. Even if you score a touchdown, you still get the kickoff. And the next, if the other team doesn't go and score a touchdown, game over. So they get the four downs at least, or they get the drive, make a drive. I don't want you to put the ball on the 25-yard line and take it in. I want you to drive the field for that touchdown. And if you get a field goal and you go back and then another team goes back and get a touchdown, that's game over. But they go back and get a field goal, we keep playing that quarter. You know what I mean? So as soon as somebody gets ahead, that's the end of the game. Then everybody got a chance to at least play in the game, play in the overtime period. I'm okay with that. But I don't know if we're expanding replays, missed calls, because there's something being missed, I think, on every play.
I agree with you there. I would not want to see more replay. The way overtime ended yesterday, I'm fine with it. Like, to me, like, I've seen a lot of good arguments for changing the rules, allowing both teams to get a possession. But to me, hey, dude, make a tackle. You know what I'm saying, Kansas City? Make a tackle, and you get off the field. I have no problem.
Yeah.
If you get sixth in overtime, you should lose.
The flip of the coin, and who wins that flip? Like, New England won that flip, but they know the weaker part of that whole team was the defense. We talked about it all year. The defense was like jello, people cutting through it, like, you know, just going through and everything. They played a great game against the Colts, but you knew once they put that defense on the field with that dude, Tom Brady, and I can only imagine what they said in the huddle. Dude, guys, all we have to do right here, right now, one drive for the whole season. Everybody, all you have, one drive. If we get this one drive, it's a wrap. And against that defense that has been, you know, 31st in Team D and all of that stuff, one drive, you know, and you go down and get it. And Patrick Mahomes doesn't get a chance to touch the ball. You know, so I understand that. I understand if you do it the other way and not want to just keep your defense on the field or let a team get one drive and that game be over. I would like to see that in overtime.
Michael, one of the hallmarks of your greatness, of the Dallas Cowboys' greatness, of the triplets era, was how many years in a row you guys were good. The consistency that you showed was really unbelievable at a time in the NFL where consistency was a tough thing to find. And here we are with the Patriots. now headed to their ninth Super Bowl under Bill Belichick. The first one all the way back in 2002 against the St. Louis Rams. This one's going to be against the Los Angeles Rams. 4 in 5 years. As a man who understands how hard this is, when you see a team going to 4 out of 5 Super Bowls, what do you think?
This is incredible. And for all the people that are witnessing it, we should be so appreciative that we get to see, that we are getting to see this kind of greatness at this level. I mean, it's phenomenal. I know how hard it was to win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. For you to say, man, they went to 8 straight championship games. That's come on, man. That's so 3 straight Super Bowls. I mean, 9 altogether now. Not 9. Is that 9 Super Bowls in 18 years or something like that? That's
yeah, what I heard. It's video game numbers. You can't do that on PlayStation.
It's exactly. You're right. That's the great. That's the best way to explain it. You couldn't accomplish this on PlayStation, let alone walking out in real life. That's the. See, I'm taking that to TV myself.
It's
I'm
going
to use that. Because that's the truth, buddy. You couldn't have done it.
Michael, I'll tell you what. I'll give you that. If you give me that pocket puff you were rocking yesterday, that thing was glorious. That was high. It looked like lemon meringue. It sat up so high.
Hey, right during the middle of the show, because, you know, you set it up like that. And you know you'll get activity on social media. People are going to come in. So I like playing with it. My wife calls, hey, drop it just a little. That's way too much. That's way too much. She'll call. She called me. I said, what's up, babe? I'm in a commercial break. She said, I know. I'm watching the pocket square. It's a little too hot. Drop it right now. So when the boss called, I had to drop it.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's fun to have that stuff. Man, I'm going to miss. The season went by so fast, man. I'm going to start going through withdrawals as soon as that Super Bowl is over.
Me too. I always get depressed at the halftime of the Super Bowl because I know we're so close to the end. Since you said Super Bowl, Rams and Patriots, give me an early handicap. What do you think of this game? I think Vegas has got the Patriots as a 2-point favorite right now, which means this is almost a pick 'em. I mean, this feels pretty even.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, and I still haven't. Whatever, I don't even know what's going on with Todd Gurley and what I saw with the Rams and Todd Gurley yesterday. And I think that plays a huge, huge factor into how this game plays out. You know, C.J. Anderson, yeah, he's done a great job. He's done a great job. But I'm still saying he's not a Todd Gurley. And what you saw yesterday, what I saw also was New England. The best way you beat New England is you out physical New England. And the Chiefs couldn't do it. The Rams can. The Rams can. If a Nomigans who plays like he's been playing with Aaron Donald, the Rams can out physical New England. They can stop that run and put pressure on Tom Brady. And it could be an interesting game. But now, it's almost like as soon as you start questioning anything with the Patriots, go get the soap and wash your mouth out. That's just like you need to do, you know, because we were questioning and we thought hey, it was over. These guys, they look bad. They don't look like the old New England Patriots. And where are they? They're back into the Super Bowl. Just an incredible, incredible thing.
Michael, you reached the Hall of Fame. You were a prototype wide receiver. You had all the measurables, all the physicality. You had the size and the speed. Explain Julian Edelman to me. Like, is he a product of Tom Brady's greatness, or what is that guy bringing to the table? Because he should not be second all-time playoff catches, but he is.
Right, and Julian Edelman, let me tell you what I tell people, and I tell them about this all the time. The wide receivers always tell me, I know how to get open. I know how to get open. Anybody knows how to get open. Tell me you know when to be open. That makes the difference. Getting open is easy. Knowing when to be open is the key that has Julian Edelman in a place that he's in. He used to play quarterback. He has that timing with Tom Brady. He knows when to make those breaks because he knows from timing purpose, Tom is getting ready to throw the ball right now. When you get that kind of timing and you use it, especially in the middle of the field where most people you're going up against, you have a two-way go, an option route, what we call an option route, it's impossible to stop you. it's physically impossible because I'm going to come up to you and break when the ball is being thrown. I'm going to break right now. So as soon as I break, I turn, the ball is there. Now you close. That's what Julian Edelman is. He's a knowledge package. He's a quarterback playing wide receiver, wrapped in knowledge and timing, and he has all the heart in the world. I love him, man. I love how hard he plays. I love the grit he plays with. And if anybody's going to get records and stuff, because I didn't know talking about he needs, I guess, probably another 100-some yards to pass me in yards and playoffs and all of that stuff.
Oh, boy.
Whatever. He deserves it. He deserves it because it's down the same realm that we're talking about, which is hard worker. Jerry Rice is first in most yards. I think I'm second, and Julian Edelman was 193 yards away. He had, 90 yesterday, so he's probably about 100, a little less than 100. So hopefully he gets that. But I just love him. I love him as a player. I love him as a person.
I'll tell you what, Michael, we'll root for 99 yards in a retirement just so you stay number two. Thank you as always, man. You wrap us in knowledge, and you wrap us in pocket puffs every single week. Thank you so much. Great to talk to you. We'll check in one more time before Super Bowl 53 kicks off in Atlanta. As always, thanks for stopping by.
Looking forward to it, D, buddy. Look forward to it.
Maximum!
I tell you, the Super Bowl is going to have a tough act to live up to. That's how good Championship Sunday was. And don't pretend you don't love a controversial ending. It certainly gives us an awful lot to talk about the very next day. We're going to come back and talk about it with you, 888-957-9570. We're also going to talk about the Warriors' new family member. Let's just call him our new Cousins. We're going to do that right after Gianna Franco gets you all up to date on what's coming up this afternoon on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Used very often around the Saints or the Rams.
Well, I understand.
But a good point on 3rd and 10. Quick snap. Breeze. Pass is incomplete. No flag for Tommy Lee Lewis. Mikel Roby Coleman delivered a hit. And the two officials talk to each other. Crowd's going crazy as there's no flag right on the Saints sideline.
Well, if Mikel Roby Coleman plays the ball, it's an interception. It's probably going the other way with it. I mean, the ball's on the other side of Roby Coleman, but that should have been a penalty. And John Payton is justifiably upset.
Mike Pereira, if that was a penalty, that would have in essence ended the game. Did you think it was a penalty?
Yeah, I really do.
That was the call on Fox, Joe Buck, and yeah, it should have been a penalty. There's no doubt the outrage of the Superdome, and that place gets loud. You heard their fans see the replay and just get angrier. You heard the, oh, come on, that was going on. The aw, come on, was certainly the mode that Sean Payton was in after that game as well.
It's tough to get over it. My problem with it was I just don't know. If we were playing pickup football in the backyard, the team that committed the foul, I mean, it was as obvious a call. How we can, two guys can look at that and come up and arrive with their decision. And it happened, though, so you can't dwell on it. You know, we probably never get over it. You know, the truth is you always, some of these losses like this, but one like that, it's too bad.
That's going to sting you. That's going to stay with you a long time when you're a heartbeat away from another Super Bowl, which is a legacy-defining, franchise-altering game, if there ever was one, to miss out on it and to feel that you got jobbed by a blatantly obvious missed call. That's a bitter place. I understand why you would toss and turn trying to go to bed last night if you were a Saints fan. Imagine how you feel if you were an actual New Orleans Saint. They got to be sick to their stomachs. But it wasn't the only reason why they lost that game. The amount of squandered opportunity early in that game, you got fake punted in that game, your future Hall of Fame quarterback threw an overtime interception in that game. There are a lot of reasons why the Saints lost, but boy, do we like to focus on one thing the day after. It's certainly obvious and easy to focus on that one thing. It's a little harder to look back through the game to see the slipped opportunities, but there are plenty out there. I got a guy who's accusing me on the text line of just saying, come on, Damon, you know, you of all people appreciate the fact that professional sports is intended as entertainment And, you know, would you be saying this if it had gone the other way? Absolutely. I have zero dog in this fight. I have no personal rooting interest in any of the four remaining teams that we just saw play yesterday. If the exact same scenario that brought the Patriots to the Super Bowl had eliminated the Patriots and the Chiefs are going because they won the toss and scored first and that was it, touchdown, you got sixth, that's it. It's just crazy to me that we got more people talking about the rule that was properly enforced because these are this is the agreed upon overtime format. We got more people bitching about that than we do this pass interference call, which was just a disaster in terms of interpreting that rule.
Well, the pass interference, I mean, that's obvious that that was a missed call. I mean, that's the problem there. And this is more like this was supposed to happen. Like those, that's the rules. Those are how things are going to play out. You can't really argue that point.
Right.
I mean, you can argue it and not like it, sure, but
everybody,
it's just how it goes.
Everybody knew that these were the rules before the game kicked off today. Proceed accordingly.
But you get mad about a missed call.
I don't think anybody has ever seen a more egregious pass interference call in a big game. I was trying to think, and I was talking with today's producer, Alon, who is filling in for Albie, as Albie lives a better life than you and I will ever know. He's off in vacationing in Costa Rica or something like that. It was a moment that everybody is angry at and everybody is upset with, and it's the obvious thing, but there are so many other moments where the Patriots, or excuse me, where the Saints screwed that game up. It was blatantly obvious, but we all knew what the rules were going in and overtime. Nobody expected the rule to be as poorly interpreted as the officials interpreted it in that Saints game. Again, Coach Sean Payton.
It was simple. They blew the call. They said it should never have not been a call. They said not only was it interference, it was helmet to helmet. There were two calls. They couldn't believe it.
He's like, they screwed it all up. It was interference. It was helmet to helmet. There was seven things they didn't get right on that one. 888-957-9570. This is Al in Novato. Al, what do you got?
What's up, Damon? How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah. I know everybody always says that. Well, we are interested in how you're doing.
Well, thank you.
But my take on this whole thing, basically, I want a true winner. I don't want excuses for the winning. You know, I don't want to hear what Ratto told me today, or even you saying like, "Well, you're going to accept." I don't accept mediocrity like that. I want to feel good about the guy that won. He didn't win by luck or by some Pop Warner referees making calls that they're watching the game. They're there in a better position than anybody on that field, and they don't see the obvious or don't call the obvious. It makes you wonder about the integrity of the game. And another thing I want to point out, when you talk about Brady and Belichick and them being among the greatest, well, you know, I give them this. They, on paper, they did win those Super Bowls. They did go to those championships. But I guarantee you, I've never heard of Bill Walsh having spies in another team's stadium watching their practices or doing anything. I would never think that
I'm not going down this road, because believe me, Bill Walsh not only killed people, he buried the bodies. But we didn't cover sports the way that we do incessantly now, so you didn't hear about it. It went by the wayside. ESPN wasn't half of what it was when Bill Walsh was coaching. So I don't want to hear another word about, like, Brady and Belichick are not among the greatest to ever do it. They're the greatest to ever do it. Everything Bill Walsh was has been toppled by the legacy of Bill Belichick. Everything that Montana was as a quarterback has been obliterated by the legacy of Tom Brady. I know that's hard for a lot of you to hear. It's the truth. You need to accept it the way that you need to accept that
A-E-I-O-U and sometimes Y.
They're all vowels. Like, your opinion doesn't matter. That's the way it is. They're the vowels. The other letters are the consonants. And them's the rules.
Do you think people would be this upset had the Chiefs won in overtime?
No. People would have been happy because it would have given America the outcome that most of America wanted. I saw a map of what is America rooting for today. The only states that were rooting for Tom Brady were New England states and Michigan. That's it. The entire country wanted the Chiefs to win that game. I, just for something new, to keep this Patrick Mahomes story going, would have totally been cool with the Chiefs winning that game. It didn't happen. And it wasn't the overtime rules that stood in the way of their success. It was the greatest coach and quarterback that the sport of football has ever seen. Again, it's no longer debatable. There's zero, you know, but he might have cheated the one time that he got caught. Yeah, and they were penalized draft picks, and they were publicly embarrassed. And
they still go to the
instead of falling apart, they just kept on kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Well, they might have cheated over here. Well, did they cheat that game? Hey, look, all teams are looking to cheat all the time. If you're not, that's why you're... How about this? The 49ers should absolutely look to cheat in 2019. I endorse them doing whatever it takes. Whatever advantage you can pick up over your opponent, do it. I've seen 6-win, 4-win seasons enough. I don't care. Winning with class. Just win. I don't care how you do it. This is Steven in Vallejo. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Picking on the refs, that's just low-hanging fruit. I mean, I'm with you. They lost that game so many other places. Like, how about you convert in the red zone in the first quarter? How about that, guys? Yesterday was the most exciting, you know, football Sunday I think I've had in a long time without really having a dog in the fight. One thing I hope that doesn't get lost in the storylines, and I'm sure it'll come up, we've got 2 weeks, is C.J. Anderson. And, you know, not just because he's from Vallejo, shout out Vallejo, but just the season that he's had, you know, what, third different team. And, you know, the Rams aren't where they're at without C.J. And I hope he's able to keep it going. And I hope the Super Bowl is even 50-75% as exciting as the games were yesterday.
It's going to be it's going to be tough to follow the championship Sunday. It really will. And C.J. Anderson has basically sent Todd Gurley to the pine. I mean, It's amazing. He keeps calling himself the fatback because he's so pudgy. He's like a bowling ball. The guy's all knees, elbows, and girth coming at you. 888-957-9570, hashtag girth. This is D in San Francisco. What's up, D?
Hey, Damon. Hearing you talk about C.J. Anderson right there makes me think, man, how like he dodged the bullet by getting cut by the Raiders the same way he was signed. And look at him now. He's in the Super Bowl. I was just tripping to myself. For New Orleans, it got to suck to be a Saints fan right now, because the one thing I was thinking about was, like, also, too, last year, how they lost on the Stephon Diggs catch. You go out that way, then you also go out this way this year. It got to suck big time.
I wasn't even thinking that. I wasn't even thinking about last year's exit. But you're right. That is a brutal way to go home two postseasons in a row. It really is. And if that doesn't just show you what a small thread every playoff game dangles on, if that doesn't make you appreciate how often the Patriots win these things even more, I don't know what you're waiting for. Like, I can't imagine how good the football team will be that you're willing to admit is better than the New England Patriots, or better than your memory of the 49ers, or better than your memory of the Raider dynasty, or better than your memory of anything. To me, consistency matters. And that makes the New England Patriots the greatest football team of all time, especially when you consider how everything in the NFL, as a governing body that the NFL represents, and the sport itself, they're designed for your failure, for your inconsistency. Everything in the NFL is built to fail eventually. Contracts, free agent money spent, bodies, relationships, trades, officiating. The rules themselves feel like they're built to fail. What's a catch? I don't know. How could you not know? How could you not know? It'd be like, hey, what's a home run in baseball? I don't know what a home run is. I thought it was when it cleared the fence, but apparently there's other elements of it. I mean, it gets crazy. You don't know what a catch is. It's the professional sport of football.
I misinterpreted the rules.
Thank you. Thank you. 888-957-9570. I got to change the subject eventually to the Warriors and DeMarcus Cousins, and I feel like we're going to have to do that at 5 o'clock because my lines are lit blinking. Everyone wants to talk about this NFL Sunday. I will say this, though. If you took our DeMarcus Cousins prop bets to the bank on Friday, today you are moving into a brand new mansion. I delivered winners.
Yeah, you did. We'll go over them for sure.
Somebody call Fortinbaugh since he's our big station gambler and see if anyone had a better weekend than my prop bets. We did 10 of them. I only hit 80%.
Impressive.
That's all. 80% winners. Stu Finer. Give us a call. 777-777-777-77. Extension 7. Mike in Oakland. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, Damon? So really quick, man, I just got like a theory of question that I've been thinking. If we look back to last weekend when Brady just killed the Chargers, look at the game this week. I felt like it was almost a repeat, and I feel like that's a sign that Brady's going to take the Super Bowl easily. Now, if Kansas City would have won, it would have been a good Super Bowl, I think. It would have been a good duo with that Rams Chiefs. But I feel like Brady's only good opponent would have been Breeze. And I just want your takes on that because I feel like the games were very the same. He marches it down at 8 minutes on that first quarter, and he kills it. And I thought to myself, if Mahomes does not answer in his first drive, then that's the game, no matter how you want to see it. And I feel like that's the Super Bowl. And plus, I thought the AFC Championship was the Super Bowl game in my eyes. Had to be the best one out of all of them. Just want your opinions on those. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you listening. I thought that the AFC game was great. I thought the NFC game was really good, too. I'm a lot more comfortable with the controversies that happened in the AFC game than I am the blown defensive pass interference in the NFC game. I think that we're going to get a really good Super Bowl. I think that the Rams represent enough of a defensive headache to keep the Patriots honest. I don't think that they're going to be able to take advantage of a porous run defense like they were able to in Kansas City. I mean, they just student body left and righted the Chiefs all afternoon. All afternoon. Maybe you didn't see it coming. But Tony Romo certainly saw it coming. I mean, he called. He didn't do play-by-play. He did play-before-play. He did. I've never seen any broadcaster in a single game have a better performance than what Tony Romo did in that playoff game. He's got the Super Bowl. Like, we're going to have to get a trank dart in his jugular. I mean, Tony Romo was as excited to be there as any Chiefs fan who's been waiting 50 years for that game.
He did good.
He was
great.
He was more than good. He wasn't just entertaining. He was entertaining and informative. You will learn something about the game you're watching if Tony Romo's doing that game. He was great. He really, really was. Bob is in Pleasanton. What do you got, Bob?
Okay, you know, basically, I want to tell you something. I grew up Boston the entire way, and I have been following the Patriots my whole life.
Bob, do you have pantyhose over your phone? Because I can hardly hear you. You sound muffled. Are you talking through a scarf?
Hey, can you hear me?
Oh, not much better, Bob. Much better.
Okay, sorry. I'm just going to tell you this. I've been almost 60 years old, and I know you don't want to talk about that. That official with the Saints, but I'm going to tell you this. Essentially, it's the timing that has happened. People are not. I am so Patriots. I am Brady. I bleed blue, red, white, and blue. Okay, and I don't care who goes against them. But I'm going to tell you this. My biggest issue is. I almost did not want to watch the Patriots game after 50-something years of watching football because I felt what your other person said, the integrity of the game is suspect. It feels like boxing or something. It feels like that L.A. had two teams. They invested a lot into the NFL, and they were going to have one of them in the Super Bowl. And I just feel the thing is fixed.
Bob, I want to alleviate your concerns. I will say this. That was such a bad call. that if you told me the game was rigged, it'd be the best explanation for it. It really would. But I do not believe the game was rigged. To say that game was rigged, you have to assume that Drew Brees was in on it when he decided to settle for field goals early. You'd have to figure the entire Saints special teams was on it when they allowed a first down via fake punt. You'd have to figure that Drew Brees in that overtime interception was just, you know, he had that in his back pocket in case the Saints were actually going to win. He was going to rig it by throwing that overtime interception. There are too many other things that happen. The call, egregious, horrific, bad. I mean, Michael Irvin, he said it best.
That was just a horrific, horrific situation and a horrific, horrific call. I don't know how you don't make that call. Seeing it, and you know, they said, well, they thought they arrived at the same. Whatever you said, it was wrong. And it's so sad.
Getting that call makes you want to say, there's got to be a call in. Like, there's something's officially up here, but it's not happening. But people are going to say that, and they're going to try and take advantage of it. Don't know if you saw this news. Saw it from Darren Revelle earlier today. A website called @PointsBetUSA, which is a New Jersey mobile gaming site, announced that refunds will be made of all wages on the Saints spread money line bets due to the non-pass interference call. That is ridiculous. What kind of precedent are you setting for your business? That's the most appeasing to millennial thing I've ever seen. All bets are action, folks. I've never heard of you didn't like the way the game ended? You didn't like the call? We're going to give you your money back? How's that even possible? Well, it might be possible because Darren Revelle even said this, that the NFL fully expects a class action lawsuit to be filed against them in the next 24 hours as a result of the public blaming the loss from the bad call in the Rams and Saints game.
A class action lawsuit?
It's crazy. You know, I would like to deliver a message to the United States that it hasn't heard in a really long time, as people have been coddled and they expect to push a button and see it show up at their front door with no effort on their own. Like, things are just given to you now. You expect everything to be given to you now. I'm going to amend this because you wouldn't want to be able to say it on the air. It would be an FCC violation. But what is the predominant feature of the Hooters waitresses?
We know.
I'm going to just change that to cookies, and I'm going to say tough cookies, America. Tough cookies. Made a bet on a game that you lost because of a bad call. Yeah, that's all that's called is gambling since the dawn of time. All bets are action. God, people are soft. Everybody on hold. Stay right there. We're going to come back and talk to you right after Gianna delivers to us a hand-delivered, fresh, ready-to-go 5 before 5 right after this on The Damon Bruce Show.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, welcome to you. If you're on hold, stay right there. We're coming back to the phones in just a moment. But first, the one and only Gianna Franco has lovingly prepared the stories, some headlines, some deadlines, and a few that slipped through the cracks for a little something we like to call 5 Before 5 here on The Damon Bruce Show.
And we are brought to you by the California Academy of Sciences. Be sure to check it out. You can visit a rainforest, outer space, all in one day.
Science.
Number one.
Learn something. All right. Well, we learned that a lot of people like to complain, Damon, because after that missed call in the Saints-Rams game and then the overtime issue in the AFC championship game, it's been a lot of controversy following what happened on Sunday. But I don't know if you saw this. Did you know that Roger Goodell actually has the authority to take action over the outcome in theory? Quote unquote, there are two rules. Rule number 17, Section 2, Article 1. Says the commissioner has the sole authority to investigate and take appropriate disciplinary or corrective measures if any club action, non-participant interference, or issue occurs in an NFL game, which is referring to the pass interference call.
I can't think of anything that would equal a worse day at work for Roger Goodell than trying to overturn the outcomes of games. It's preposterous.
It's not going to happen. It's definitely not going to happen. But he could, and he actually, as the rule continues, the commissioner has the power to reverse the game's results, which basically means he could have both teams back on the field, play either the whole game or from that point, and give the Saints first and goal at the spot of the foul, put a minute 49 back on the clock, and let the game proceed at that point.
You know, theoretically,
isn't that crazy?
Theoretically, I could have been a playmate.
Yes.
But, theoretically.
So this is in the rule book. Like, right. He could make that decision.
That's never going to happen.
What if he did, though? That'd be a little
nuts.
What
if he did? People would be at NFL offices prepared to burn them down today.
Yeah, talk about another lawsuit.
Number two.
Some interesting notes about Super Bowl 53. Already making history. Pats, Rams, over-under at 58, which is the highest total in Super Bowl history.
There you go.
That's already started. The 17-year age difference between Brady and Goff is the largest age group between two quarterbacks.
It's not the largest age difference between a quarterback and a girlfriend, though, in the NFL. I can promise you that.
But the age gap between two QBs, yes, it is. And this is interesting, and I still need to go through both rosters, but so far, at least six Bay Area players in the Super Bowl. Obviously, you've got Jared Goff, who's from Nevada, went to Marin Catholic. You've got Brady, who's from San Mateo, went to Sarah. Marcus Peters for the Rams. He's out of Oakland. Ethan Westbrook, he was born in Oakland, raised in Elk Grove. Julian Edelman, Redwood City. CJ Anderson, born in Berkeley, high school in Vallejo.
Congratulations
cool.
to all of them. Unless it's the Niners or Raiders, I don't care. There's no Bay Area in this Super Bowl. Trust me on that.
But it's cool to see that our football programs here are creating some elite talent.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, why not?
And another thing that everyone's talking about, obviously, is CBS color commentator Tony Romo finally getting into a Super Bowl.
Tony finally made it, man. Finally made it. He deserves to go to this Super Bowl. He deserves to go to a Super Bowl more as a broadcaster than he did a player. That's how great of a broadcaster he has become.
He'll be part of the broadcast team, which I'm looking forward to. He could be a coach. He was so good. It's like he was a football psychic.
If John Gruden was worth $100 million coming out of the booth, what's that guy worth?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Good point.
Number three.
Okay, this is interesting. Sean McVay actually has his own, quote-unquote, get-back coach guy to keep him on the sidelines during the game. Listen to this.
Coaches, whether it's, you know, a position coach or even Sean McVay now, I literally have to spend most of my time while the offense is on the field standing right behind Sean and ripping him out of the way when the official's about to run into him just so we don't get a penalty. There is an art to it. It is kind of like a dance. Maybe tango, like a sidestep into the path of the official and then remove back.
All right, we need to hear the tango music. But basically, if you see this video, this guy's job is to keep him from, you know, actually
going
getting
on the field.
It's
a get-back coach.
Totally.
Every team in football history has had a get-back coach. It's usually like a position coach that on game day doesn't have much to coach in the moment because the other unit's on the field, so he's the get-back coach. You ever go to a Walmart or something like that and you see the woman who insists on walking her young child around like a pet? Like she puts a leash on him?
Oh, put a leash on the kid, yeah.
Any leash in America could be a better get-back coach than the get-back coach could be. There should just be a leash. They should have head coaches on harnesses and a guy holding them back at leash.
Yeah, if you got to see the video. I'll tweet it out, but it's pretty funny just to see how it literally is like a dance. You know, like, get out of the way. Here comes a ref. And, like, Sean McVay doesn't have, like, he's not even paying attention to any of it. He's so focused on what's happening on the field. He has no clue.
You see Sean McVay getting love from his buddies after the game was over. There was, like, this dude wearing a man bun. I mean, it was just the most, like, if Central Casting could send down four Los Angeles douchey-looking dudes, they would have been these guys celebrating with McVay.
I missed that. Oh, my sound's down.
Number four.
I got to find that.
Number four.
All right, there's a couple of prop bets already out. I'm not going to go through all of them. In fact, we can do this throughout the week, but let's chat National Anthem.
We got two weeks to do this.
That's right. We got some time. So, National Anthem prop bets. How long will it take Gladys Knight to sing the National Anthem? 145 is over. So, over 145 or under 145. They're about a minute 45 is what they're guessing.
Yeah, I think I'd have to take the over there only because Gladys in Georgia, she's got to milk it for every minute it's worth. This might be Gladys's last real center stage spotlight moment of her career. So if I'm her, I'm getting my money's worth.
Will she be wearing a dress, a skirt, a gown to sing the national anthem? Will she omit any words from the national anthem?
Do you have any Super Bowl prop bets, or is it just Gladys Knight?
No, well, this is just all Super. We're just focusing on the national anthem.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
We got so many. Like, we got a whole
pages
2 weeks
and pages
to go through
and pages
it.
And pages.
Will any player take a knee during the national anthem, and will any scoring drive take less time than it takes her to sing the national anthem? So
wow.
Those are the prop
so
bets for the national anthem.
That could be an interesting prop. Only one big play away are the Rams from scoring quickly. So there's an interesting prop, but I don't care what she wears or how long she sings it. To me, the national anthem is there to just be finished as fast as possible. Let's kick it off.
Well, good. I can't wait to hear your halftime.
By the way, I'm totally over. When it comes to the NFL has completely exhausted the topic of national anthem. From now on, I do not care. There's the NFL and the America's reaction to everything that happened has so ruined it for me that I'd just do away with it I've seen these kids play with this toy before and they don't play well together. So I would get rid of the toy.
Number five.
Not working for you. All right. So a couple last things about the Super Bowl. Ticket prices, obviously, are going to be sky high. It is at the Mercedes-Benz Center in Atlanta. But Atlanta Stadium will be keeping the low price of food.
I saw that.
I think that's very cool. So $2 hot dogs, $2 refillable soft drinks, $3 nachos, $5 burgers, $5 beers.
The Super Bowl.
What?
The Super Bowl is America's ultimate price gouge, whether it comes to booking a hotel in that city where they're charging through the roof prices and they're looking for 4-night minimum stays, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Restaurants up their cocktails, stadiums usually charge an arm and a leg. I think that when I was at the Superdome for the 49ers Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl, I think bottled waters were $120 each.
Wow. Bargain.
In that neighborhood, anyways.
That's outrageous.
It's a price gouge. And for the Falcons and that stadium to lock in their rock bottom prices and say, this is just how we do it. Man, tip the cap to that.
No, that is very cool. I'm impressed that they're doing that. Because, you know, a lot of people, it's their dream to go to Super Bowl. And if you have a dog in the fight, you want to be there. So
it's a $1.5 billion stadium that you can get a beer a lot cheaper than you can watching an A's game.
Beer.
That's crazy. All right, lastly here, LAPD celebrating the Rams' victory over the Saints by talking a little trash. They tweeted out, quote, sounds like our friends at the New Orleans Police Department might be dealing with some robbery complaints after the Rams defeated the Saints. Nicely done.
Speaking of robbery, I don't know if you saw this story. In something that has gotten a lot less attention because of everything that happened this weekend, Manny Pacquiao beat Adrian Broner, and Broner is just high as a kite. Like, that guy must be on crack or something because he's talking about how he clearly won the fight. Just a loudmouth guy who should never be allowed back in a ring on a pit. Like, there's no reason to ever buy a ticket to watch him fight again. The guy's awful. Having said that, there is a new trend in sports happening that is officially disturbing. We see it happen on college campuses now when coaches are coaching in their spring game or something like that. We've seen this happen to Manny Pacquiao. Well, he was fighting in Las Vegas. Somebody broke into and burgled his home.
That's crazy.
Somebody burglarized his home because they knew for a fact, well, not only is he not going to be there, but his security team won't be there. They're with him.
This has been happening often to a lot of big name athletes who are it happened to a couple World Series players.
Yes.
A couple of the Dodgers, I believe. And I mean, they know where they are.
I've seen somebody get robbed while they were attending a funeral.
Oh, that's
terrible. It's just, this is happening in sports. It's knowing where you're not. I guess that's the the best way to be an effective criminal. You never break into a place that's occupied.
Yeah,
you only go
home.
And break into places that you know where no one's home. So that's really something else. That is terrible. Speaking of Manny Pacquiao and terrible, Elena, if you could please put the music down just whenever we have a Manny Pacquiao sighting here in the news, and we're not going to have many more because it's about over for Manny and the era that he was in. But whenever we have a Manny Pacquiao story, I just need to give you this.
You ask me if I love you, and I choke on my reply.
That's right.
Is that him?
I'd rather hurt you honestly.
Forget the masked singer, Gianna. I've got something to entertain your entire family. Listen.
And who am I to judge you?
When Manny sings a song, it becomes
and
his
what
forever.
What you say I do, I'm only just beginning.
Stick around for the chorus. Oh, of course we will.
Sometimes when we touch.
Sometimes when we touch, the honesty is too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide.
I feel good about that.
Wow. I don't think that's not that bad.
Well, he sings in English better than I would sing if someone said, hey, you need to do this song. You need to be speaking Filipino.
Tagalog.
What is it?
I think it's Tagalog.
Tagalog?
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine me trying to sing a song in Tagalog. It probably wouldn't be very good at all. So in a way, I'm impressed, but in many other ways, I'm completely horrified.
I thought it was pretty good. I had no idea that existed.
Sometimes when we touch, Manny Pacquiao sings too much. It's good stuff.
Wow. That made my day. That made my day.
I'm glad you enjoyed. Larry Taxi, what do you got, Larry?
Hey, Damon. How you doing? Long time no talk.
No kidding.
Listen, hi, Gianna.
Hi.
Hopefully you'll let me get through this. A couple of points. First of all, Tony Romo makes Nostradamus look like an amateur. That guy called like every play in one of those drives was Tom Brady. It was incredible. And as far as that game went, okay, look, every play, there's always someone holding. There's always someone doing something. They can't call them all. But that one play where the guy's offsides and then they got the game-saving interception, why don't they call that right at the beginning of the play so the whole play doesn't go and everyone gets crushed in the stadium? I mean, why let it go too far?
Well, because it's a defense on the penalty. It's a defensive penalty, so you want to give the offense a chance to get a freebie there, and luckily for Brady, his freebie came right back to him.
Yeah, good point there, Damon. I forgot about that. So otherwise, if you give Brady an extra chance, he's going to get you. The GOAT sheared their defense like sheep, okay? And they deserve to win. As far as overtime goes, you know, I got to agree with the one guy. If you're actually the home field advantage, you've been working up to it all season long, okay, take the first possession. But I do think that the other team deserves at least one shot at tying whatever you do. But if there's a fumble or interception, then too bad.
There you go. Thank you very much. Hey, Larry, thank you. Good to talk to you, man. We are here. Welcome to 5 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.